Scripture reading is in John 15 and 16. We'll be reading from John 15, 26 through John 16, verse 15. Listen carefully to the Word of God. This is in the midst of Jesus teaching and preaching to his apostles after the Last Supper, Lord's Supper. This is his explanation of what's coming, all that he has done, the significance of it, and a tremendous comfort to his apostles and through them to us. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will testify also because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue. But an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I have spoken to you so that when their hour comes you may remember that I told you of them. These things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. It does sometimes seem that in the visible church broadly, across denominations and across generations, that the Spirit is the forgotten person of the Trinity. I think you could make a similar argument for the Father, but that's not usually a point of contention. But we see in the Scriptures, just for some touchstones of this simple truth, that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are always together. You can't speak about one without inferring the other. And so to focus on one is to go to the others. You can't get away from it. And so in the baptismal format, Jesus commands us to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's one name, three persons. It's not the names of these, but the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so three persons, one God. And they're always together. You can't forget any of them if you truly understand any one of them. And in the benediction, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the three persons of the Trinity are always to be considered together. And you can't rightly understand one without truly understanding all. At the creation, the Father spoke, the Son was in that word, and the Spirit was hovering over the not yet organized matter. All three persons are at the creation. Also over providence, the same is true. You think of the baptism of Jesus, that you had the Father's voice, the Spirit descending in the form of a dove, and the Son himself being baptized. If you look hard, they're all there. And so it can't be that the Spirit is forgotten. We must not, we cannot, and I think we do not when we understand things rightly. A very important point in understanding the Holy Spirit is that the chief end of the Spirit is to glorify the Son. The Holy Spirit is always working to glorify Jesus. And so he directs our attention to Jesus away from himself. Consider others as more important than yourself. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. And then Jesus himself gives all honor to the Father. And the Father glorifies himself in the Son. And the Son glorifies the Spirit by sending the Spirit into the world. And so there's this mutuality among the persons of the Trinity where there is honor given. But the chief end of the Holy Spirit, there is more to say, but the chief end of the Holy Spirit is to glorify the Son. And you see that throughout this sermon of Jesus to his disciples after the Last Supper. Just as surely as Jesus' chief end is to glorify the Father, the Holy Spirit's chief end is to glorify the Son. You may not think of it often, but when you hear these passages, you will remember them. The most elaborate, the most full statement is in Philippians 1:19. I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That is the fullest statement with Jesus, the Lord's full name. The Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Jesus sends him, and the Spirit glorifies Jesus. He is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So we read in John 15:26, when the Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. The Helper comes whom I will send from the Father. And then back in 14:26, the Helper, he will teach you all things whom the Father will send in my name. So in the one side of the coin, the Father sends the Spirit in Jesus' name. The other side of the coin, Jesus sends the Spirit from the Father. And so all three persons of the Trinity are involved in this work. In Acts chapter 6, verse 7, another reference. After they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. The Spirit has a peculiar connection to Jesus, and it is the Spirit that is working out what the Father has appointed and what the Son has accomplished. See also in Romans 8, verse 9. However, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, you see that parallelism. The Spirit of God, when not otherwise designated, referring to the Father, and the Spirit of Christ. It's the same Spirit, related in similar ways to the Father and the Son. They're always together. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. Seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. The Spirit's main task is to glorify the Son. He comes to glorify Jesus. One of the more spectacular ways that he does so, Jesus ascends to sit at the right hand of the Father, and he pours out the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And there is all these glorious phenomena, but what is the point? It is to proclaim that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, ruling over all things. The Spirit at Pentecost doesn't come to glorify himself. The Spirit of Pentecost comes to glorify Jesus, because Jesus rules over all the nations, every tribe, tongue, language, and that all these languages are being spoken is not for the glory of the Holy Spirit who produces this effect, but for the glory of Jesus Christ who rules over all these people and all these languages. The Spirit never draws attention to himself. He always draws attention to Jesus. Let's consider the many ways in which he does this. First of all, inspiration. The Spirit reveals Jesus to us. We referred to 1 John 14:26, 15:26, and in 16:13, He takes of mine and gives it to you. The Holy Spirit takes what is Christ. He makes it known. He delivers it to Christ's people. In 1 John 4, just to go to a different place, so you can see how thoroughly these points are made. In 1 John 4, verses 2 and 3, by this you know the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to confess that Jesus Christ has come. The Holy Spirit doesn't enable us to confess the Spirit. The Spirit enables us to confess Christ. No one can say Jesus is accursed by the Spirit. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12:3, the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us so that we confess who Jesus is. Jesus says in Luke 24:44 that everything that was spoken of him in the law, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And it is the Holy Spirit who is speaking those things about Christ. The whole Bible, as Paul describes it, is God-breathed. And that involves the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, is the breath of God who breathes out through the prophets the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has produced the Scriptures as we have them. And the whole of the Bible, he breathed through Moses the law, which speaks of Christ. He breathed through the prophets, which speaks of Christ. He breathed through the apostles, which speaks of Christ. The Holy Spirit speaks through the prophets. And everything that he says through the prophets and the law of prophets and the Psalms speaks of Jesus. So everything that the Holy Spirit says is Jesus. That's what he does. He doesn't talk about himself. He talks about Jesus. So to read again in 1 Peter 1. As to this salvation, the salvation in Christ, the prophets made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating. Every messianic prophecy in the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms are from the Holy Spirit speaking about Jesus. In 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, but know this first of all, no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. No prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals Jesus to us in the Scriptures. In Hebrews 2, verse 4, God also testifying with the apostles, both by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. The signs and wonders and miracles of the Holy Spirit are not for the purpose of drawing attention to the Holy Spirit. The signs, wonders, and miracles of the Holy Spirit that he worked through the apostles and prophets were for the purpose of confirming and affirming the truth of their statement, which statements were that Jesus is the Christ. The Holy Spirit doesn't give signs, wonders, and miracles and speaking in different languages at Pentecost, for example, in order to draw attention to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives all of his gifts to draw attention to Christ. So if any gift is used to draw attention to the gifted person, or is used to draw attention to the Holy Spirit merely, it is an abuse of the Holy Spirit's gifts. The infallible test of a true work of the Holy Spirit is if it directs us to Jesus Christ as revealed in the Scriptures, because that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit seems to be forgotten because he's always pointing to somebody else. And when you're pointing to something else, you're forgotten. John the Baptist, he pointed to Christ. He must increase, I must decrease. He led people to Christ and his work was done. The Holy Spirit leads people to Christ. My work here is done, he says. And so the Holy Spirit is seemingly forgotten because he is so effective in directing attention to Jesus. Consider the incarnation. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brought Jesus to us in the incarnation. The Holy Spirit was the one who was present at the baptism. And the Holy Spirit who is the one who through the baptism of Christ filled Christ with power for all the works that he did. Jesus, there wasn't an immediate relationship between the deity of Christ and the humanity of Christ. The deity of Christ is mediated by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit filled Jesus as a human being and enabled him to do his work. All the wonderful things that Jesus said, all the wonderful things that Jesus did is evidence of the Holy Spirit working in him and empowering him. Everything, he went in the power of the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. He said in his first sermon, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do all these works that God has called me to do. The Holy Spirit brought Jesus to us in his conception, in his baptism, and in his ministry, because that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And we learn in Romans 1 and Romans 8 that it is the Father through the power of the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The Son of God is also participating in that, so Jesus in a way raises himself from the dead, but the Holy Spirit is in that also. And so from beginning to end, from conception to resurrection and ascension, and after the ascension to being poured out at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is bringing Jesus to us. Also in conversion, how did we come to faith in Christ? It was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings Jesus to us historically, and the Holy Spirit brings us to Jesus in our own personal histories. We were dead in sin, and God made us alive. How did he do that? You have the picture in Ezekiel 37 of the Valley of Dry Bones. And Ezekiel is commanded to prophesy over the bones, to speak the word of God over dead souls. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, through that word, the dead are made alive. And we, who were dead in sin, were made alive in Christ. How did that happen? The Holy Spirit made us alive in Christ. It is the Spirit who gives life, not the flesh. We sang of it in Psalm 104. 1 Corinthians 12:13, Paul gives this picture that we are baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ. We die to sin in Christ. We live to righteousness in Christ. But how do we get to be in Christ? It is the Holy Spirit who conceives faith in the soul, who stirs it up, and by means of faith unites us to Christ, so that Paul speaks of the Holy Spirit baptizing us into Christ, so that we are in union, faith union with Christ, and we obtain his benefits. We are made alive by the Spirit in Christ to the glory of the Father. The Spirit is the one who reveals Christ to us in inspiration. He brought Jesus to us in incarnation, and he brought us to Jesus in conversion. One of the most succinct and helpful verses in these considerations is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Through him, that is Christ, we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. It is in the Spirit, by the Son, that we come to the Father. Jesus, in Hebrews chapter 10, has prepared a new and living way for us. That way that is to the tree of life that is guarded by the flaming sword and that is filled with the junk of our sin and generations of sin. Jesus has taken all of that junk off the road and he's paved it straight and narrow to the Father. Jesus has opened up a new and living way to the Father. But if you don't have any transportation, you can't get there. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to walk that new and living way to the presence of the Father. Christ has opened it up, and the Holy Spirit enables us to walk it and to enter into God's presence. We have access in one Spirit, through Christ, to the Father. Jesus brings us to the Father, but it's the Holy Spirit that brings us to Christ. 4th item is sanctification. One of the reasons that the Holy Spirit is called the Holy Spirit is that his work is to bring us to Christ in conformity to him. Not just to bring us to him in conversion for forgiveness and righteousness, but to bring us to Jesus more and more over time so that we are less like beasts and more like Christ. The Holy Spirit in sanctification is progressively bringing us more and more into conformity with Christ, because his job, his calling, is to bring us to Jesus, and he's continually doing that. He does it by separating us from our sins, taking us from uncleanness to cleanness, and also in separating us to Christ's righteousness, bringing us from commonness to holiness. That's what Jesus does. Taking away sin, taking away our sin, giving us Christ's righteousness, and by these means, bringing us to conformity to Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And so, because you don't believe me, I will cite some verses. And you shouldn't believe me, unless I do cite some verses. Paul says, to be a minister of Christ to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest of the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. That the people that Paul offers to God have been brought to Christ by conversion and conformed to Christ by sanctification. One of my favorite verses, 1 Corinthians 6:11. He lists a bunch of really nasty sins, and then he says this: such were some of you, but you were washed from uncleanness to cleanness. You were sanctified from commonness to holiness. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. The Spirit conforms us to Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:8. So he who rejects this, which is a passage on sanctification, the previous verses, he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Verse 3, the will of God is your sanctification. If you reject this, you're not rejecting man, but you're rejecting God who gives the Holy Spirit, because that is his work to conform us to Christ. Second Thessalonians 2:13, the passage with the man of sin. We should always give thanks, but we should always give thanks to God for you, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth, which are coordinate things. The Holy Spirit gives faith by which he sanctifies us and conforms us to Christ. The fruit of the Christian love, joy, peace, patience. What is that? It's the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who produces that fruit in conforming us to Christ. Inspiration, incarnation, conversion, sanctification, all the ways that the Spirit leads us to Christ. And these are over time history. These are in personal history. But it's also the Holy Spirit who is at work in worship. We constantly affirm that corporate worship is not an earthly activity, thinking particularly of Hebrews chapter 12. It is a heavenly activity. It is physical, but it is also spiritual. And so it is the Holy Spirit who is at work in public worship. How do we, as human beings dwelling on earth, enter into the very presence of God in worship? It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. The Father is in heaven. Jesus sitting at his right hand. How do we get there? How do we ever get to Jesus? How do we ever come to Jesus? It's the Holy Spirit who brings us to Christ. And in public worship, it's the Holy Spirit who brings us there. In John chapter 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The word that I have spoken to you, our spirit and our life. It is the Spirit who gives life. The Spirit breathes over the dry bones. The Spirit, in Psalm 104, breathes on the world, and things are created. Things come into being that weren't in being. Children are born. The Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. The Holy Spirit breathes life by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so when the Spirit breathes, He breathes through the prophets the Word of God, and by that Word causes people to live. People come to faith through the Scriptures. People come to faith by hearing the Word of God. How? Because the Spirit is in it. The Spirit is breathing out through the Word into the soul and making spiritually dead people live. That's why we're so intent on the Scriptures. We don't try other means to manipulate people into making a confession of Christ. We simply speak the Word of God, relying upon the Holy Spirit through the simple word of the Scriptures to give life to the dead. We don't indulge in psychological manipulation to convert people. We just read, teach, and preach the Scriptures because that is what the Holy Spirit has always used and will always use. Because if it isn't the Spirit speaking by the Scriptures, it isn't a real conversion. And what does the Spirit do? Through the prophets, the Word, giving life to the soul, He is bringing people to Christ. He is giving people the benefits of Christ, forgiveness and righteousness, which is life. Powerful passage in 1 Thessalonians 1, 5, and 6. Our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in the power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. It's just words. In many ways, it's just words. Preaching is just words. The Bible is just words. Except for the Holy Spirit. It's what He is pleased to use. If we use any other means, we forfeit the work of the Spirit. If we want the work of the Spirit, we have to do things His way. And this is His way. He brings us to Jesus through the preaching of the Word. He also brings us to Christ through the sacraments. Baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Spirit uses baptism to bring people to Christ, sometimes after the profession, sometimes before. And the Lord's Supper also. What's going on in the Lord's Supper? There's this long historical debate about the real presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper. You have the Catholic view that the elements are changed, and so Christ is here in the elements. Or the Lutheran view, which the Swiss cheese view, that in every nook and cranny, or the English muffin view, if you prefer, in every nook and cranny, Jesus is present in the holes between the atoms. Sorry, I don't mean to be derisive, but seriously. That's Jesus in here. Where is Jesus? He's sitting in the right hand of God. That's where Jesus is. And so if we are going to participate in His benefits in the Lord's Supper, eating the bread and enjoying by faith His righteousness really and truly, and drinking the cup, enjoying His forgiveness really and truly, it is because the Holy Spirit takes us in the Spirit to be with Christ and to feed on Him spiritually. He doesn't come to us in the changed elements or in the nooks and crannies. We go to Him by the Holy Spirit, which is what the Holy Spirit always does. It's the general work of the Holy Spirit to bring us to Jesus. And so in the Lord's Supper, it's the particular work of the Holy Spirit to bring us to Jesus so that it is not an empty sign. It is not a mere remembering. It is a work of the Holy Spirit bringing us to Jesus that we would benefit from Him in very particular ways in that circumstance. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Likewise with prayer and praise. Well-known passage in Romans 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. How do our prayers get to the Father? The Holy Spirit intercedes, presents them to our high priest, who always lives to make intercession for us, and He presents them to the Father. This is way oversimplified, but it gives us a sense of what God is doing. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts to bring our petitions to the Son. The Son always lives to make intercession for us and presents them to the Father, and by that means they are heard and they are answered. If they're not in the name of Jesus, if they're not by the power of the Spirit, prayers are not effective. This is what Paul is talking about when he says in Ephesians 6:18, with prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. We can't pray as we should. We cannot pray in an acceptable way apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Not a bunch of goofy stuff. The Holy Spirit works in our prayers. All the things that we take for granted. It's the Holy Spirit that is the one that makes it work. How can we praise God in a way that is acceptable to Him? How do we dare enter the presence of God? We're going to be like Nadab and Abihu, just come in with our own ideas and crash into God's presence? Ahasuerus would not extend the golden scepter to us in such circumstances. What does the scripture say? Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We can only praise God rightly and truly if we do so in the power of the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit does not result necessarily in speaking in other tongues. But being filled with the Spirit does result necessarily in speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, which are the three categories of the Psalter. If you are filled with the Spirit, you will sing the psalms. If you are filled with the Spirit, you will pray. If you are filled with the Spirit, you will hear the Word of God revealed in the Scriptures. If you are filled with the Spirit, you will celebrate the Lord's Supper. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And lastly, He does all these things in fellowship. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:13. But in the midst of that are all the other gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. The Holy Spirit gives the members of the church gifts by which they can be a blessing to others and be blessed by others in the body fellowship of the visible church. He baptizes us into Christ not simply for the benefits of redemption, but also for the benefits of giving and receiving in fellowship. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who animates and empowers the fellowship that we enjoy in blessing one another and humbly receiving blessing from one another. Those are the spiritual gifts. When you see a need in your brethren that you can meet, that fact that you can meet that is your spiritual gift. You don't know what your spiritual gifts are until you see someone who needs what you have. God's providence in revealing needs reveals your gifts. You might not have known that you could do that until you realized it needed to be done. And so, discerning spiritual gifts isn't a matter of taking a survey. It's a matter of opening your eyes to see what the needs are around you and meeting them. And if you can't meet them, find somebody who can. Don't take a survey. Open your eyes and see what's needed and meet pressing needs. In all these ways, in worship, the Holy Spirit brings us to Jesus and His benefits. His benefits are His fruit. Lastly, glorification. We die. Our body goes in the grave. Our spirit enters with the other spirits of righteous men made perfect in the heavens to await Christ's coming. And when Christ comes, our bodies also will be in the presence of God. How does that happen? Is it the angels who come and escort us as with Lazarus? Yes, but angels are ministering spirits, so in effect, who's in charge? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been working our whole lives long to bring us to faith, to work in us by sanctification, and at death, it will be our old friend and helper, the Holy Spirit, who will escort us into the presence of God and likewise at the resurrection. So from beginning to end, It is the Holy Spirit who brings all of the benefits that Christ has won for us into our experience. So, you're not forgetting the Holy Spirit. You're depending on Him all the time. You can't come to Christ apart from the Spirit, but if you have the Spirit, you have come to Christ and will be focused on Christ. If you have the Holy Spirit, you will be focused not on yourself, not on your gifts, not even on the Spirit, but on Christ. The Spirit never draws attention to Himself, but only to Christ. Therefore, He seems to be overlooked when, in fact, He is involved in everything, creation, providence, and redemption. Before Christ, the Spirit is involved in preparation for redemption. With Christ, the Spirit is involved in Christ's accomplishment of redemption. After Christ, the Spirit is involved in the application of what Christ has accomplished. So, ask the Father to give you His Holy Spirit. You being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How will God not give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So ask Him. Ask the Father to give you His Holy Spirit. And then ask the Spirit to give you faith, union with Christ, conversion out of sin and death, and cleansing from your guilt and righteousness. Ask the Spirit to lead you to Christ as you read the Scriptures. Ask the Spirit to bring you to Christ in the sacraments that you may enjoy His benefits promised there. Ask the Spirit to help you pray so that you will be heard and answered graciously. Ask the Spirit to integrate you fully into the giving and receiving of Christ's gifts in His body, the visible church. Ask the Spirit to bring you to Jesus in your spirit at death and in your body at the resurrection. Praise God, the Holy Spirit, who brought and will yet bring Christ to us and us to Him for God's glory in our salvation. Don't forget the Holy Spirit, but follow Him through His means to Jesus, who with the Spirit brings us to the Father for true life now and forever. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the rock of the Holy Spirit speaking in the Scriptures that sets our feet in stable places so that we are not blown here and there by every wind of doctrine and every fad which infects the visible church from generation to generation. Lord, we recognize that very often these movements remind us of things that we have neglected, and nevertheless, or all the more, may we devote ourselves to the Holy Spirit speaking in the Scriptures so that we will be sound in our faith and stable and persevering in our lives. Please give us understanding of these things by Your Spirit. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.